there's a few more people coming through, so please find a nice seat. A few front seats still open, closer to the power. But we're getting welcome to this January retreat here at Jhana Grove. And how many of you have never been here before? Wow! I can tell all those old jokes again, which people have heard so many times. Like the person who went to the psychiatrist. He said, "What's your problem, sir?" And he said, sometimes I think I'm a marquee. At other times, I think I'm a teepee." And the doctor thought for a moment and said, "Ah, yes, I know your problem. It's very common in today's world. Sometimes people think they're marquee, sometimes people think they're teepee. You are too tense." Oh, come on. It's not against your precepts to laugh. So one of the important things with meditation is learning how to relax. Not just to relax, but to relax to the max. In other words, to get, first of all, the body to be nicely at ease. So there's no tightness, no tension, no stress anywhere in your body. So you can really relax. And that is one of the reasons why I'm sure that Bianca, and she's been doing this how many years? Actually, well, it's as long as I've been doing it, I suppose, because actually not quite as long. But anyway, that it's a beautiful, hopefully she's been telling you that this place is a nice relaxed place. You each have, first of all, your own room with your own ensuite. And that's really rare to find any meditation retreat center anywhere in the world where you have such luxury. And you deserve it, number one, because if we're going to be doing lots of meditation, you want to be able to sometimes meditate in your own room. And to have, you don't need to queue up to go to the toilet, it's right there for you. And if you need to rest any time of the day or night, the bed is there for you to rest in. In other words, we try and keep this as comfortable as we possibly can. And there's a good reason for that. Because you get better meditation, deeper meditation, when your body is relaxed. And the story which behind that was even the story of the Buddha, who for 6 years when he left home was trying all sorts of ways and means to become enlightened and was getting absolutely nowhere. And then he remembered as a 6 or 7 year old young boy just watching his father do a ceremony, and the Buddha-to-be was sitting under a rose apple tree, and then just got so peaceful he got into one of the jhanas. And those are the deep meditations. And afterwards, many years later, he remembered that and said, maybe that is the path to enlightenment, to bodhi. And the word bodhi means like awakening, just a waking up from the dreams of delusion. And he said, yeah, maybe that is. And the problem was, he said, it's very difficult to attain those deep stages of meditation when the body is so tired and thin and achy and not fit. So he spent the first time just eating properly, washing, resting, and then he went to, you might call this, Club Med Bodh Gaya. In other words, he went to this beautiful park with just a few trees on the side of the river Nirmala, and just an idyllic spot to meditate. And you just didn't sit at the root of a Bodhi tree. If ever you see a Bodhi tree, if you sit on those roots, it's not going to last very long. It's very uncomfortable. He got some grass and made sure we had a nice mat to sit on, which is one of the reasons we have mats here, we have pillows here, we have chairs here, so you can make your body nice and comfortable. And had a good meal. In fact, the meal he had before he became enlightened was actually prepared for a heavenly being. It was almost like an offering to some tree spirit. And the Buddha ate that with a good meal, a nice soft seat in a beautiful place, relaxed and bodily at ease. He started to meditate, and it became very easy for him to get into a deep meditation and to get enlightened and become our Buddha. And the most important part of that story, emphasizing, was the comfort, eating properly, resting, drinking, washing, so that he could feel his body was at ease, not sort of indulging the body, but certainly not torturing the body. So first of all, when you checked in and looked at your rooms hopefully are comfortable, but pretty simple. There's no TVs up there. Internet here is terrible. I'm sure you'll probably find out where the hotspots are later on, but for the moment, it's just a waste of time trying to get on the internet here. So it means you've got no distractions except to meditate and to rest and just whatever else, to eat, obviously, to have a nice, peaceful time here. And soon one gets into appreciating just your rooms are comfortable, this place is comfortable here, the meditation, but you don't always have to meditate here. The food is absolutely delicious. What Bianca serves up is incredible, as you'll soon find out. And it is a place of low physical tension, which is one of the reasons why I don't mind calling it Club Meditation, because it's relaxing, peaceful, happy. Even for those people who have any difficulty hearing, we do have this system over here where you can get these little earphones so you can hear properly. And the schedule, hopefully, is comfortable for you. The schedule, yeah, there is supposed to get up. But what the schedule says is just a framework. You don't have to... You're good looking for a chair. Or, yeah, lots of chairs. Yeah.
Signs on it.
Signs, I'll take the sign off. There we go, that's good. That's the way to do it. Comfortable. And then you won't get into trouble because I told you to take the side off. So when you're relaxed and peaceful, it makes meditation much easier. And just like sitting in a chair, you know that many times that when I used to take people over to India for pilgrimage, in one place a very ancient carving of the Buddha sitting on a chair. And I always made a point of pointing that out to people, to say that even the Buddha sat on a chair and became enlightened, became our Buddha. So don't try and out-sit the Buddha, okay? If you need to sit on a chair, the chairs are over there for you. And there's actually lots of chairs over there and other places, so you can get a nice chair to sit on if you need to. And if you are a bit tall, like you are, you can always put something underneath, a meditation cushion underneath your bottom. So it raises you up so your feet are more comfortable. So please, look after your body, make it comfortable. And also the schedule which we have, was it 5 o'clock? What time are you supposed to get up in the morning? No, that's wrong. No, that's wrong. You get up when you wake up. So we don't want any more guilt trips, you know, in this retreat centre. We think, oh, I got up late today. Oh, I got to go to bed early because I got to get up early. No. Just when your meditation is going well, when you're happy, peaceful, things are going well, carry on meditating. And in the morning you get up, and you see what the time is, and you can always catch up on a rest afterwards. So you can be a bit courageous and get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Whoa, that's interesting. See what happens. If you think that's a bit too early, then afterwards you can go to bed at 3 o'clock. See what happens. In other words, you work with your body. And you listen to what the body needs and how much it needs to sleep, how much it needs to eat, what exercise it needs. Because you can't expect 60 people on this retreat to fit into the very same schedule as everybody else does. Some people like getting up early in the morning. That's me, I'm an early morning riser. I always get up early in the morning. But, you know, just staying up late at night, I don't like staying up late at night. Just early to bed, early to rise, makes a monk healthy, wealthy, and... Actually, that's not true. I'm not wealthy. Healthy, okay. And happy. So you find out what your body needs. And there are some days you're full of energy, carry on meditating. There's some days you're really tired, take an extra break. In other words, we're being kind to our body. You have the breakfast, which is beautiful breakfast, as I was saying. The lunches, you have a cup of tea, chocolate, coffee, drinks. I don't know, you can always have anything over there. And so make sure that your body is at peace and comfortable. Not indulging the body, but just making sure it's full of energy, comfortable, and at peace. And if you are mindful of your body's well-being, then you look at it and feel it, what it needs, how is it, and then you're kind to it. Kind means, what do you need, body? Do you need some water? Thank you. This is all rainwater here, except for the stuff which you use for bathing. And the rainwater goes through a system of ultraviolet, whatever it is. So it's really good quality water here. So you can drink lots of it. And it's good for you. It tastes of just a nice amount of sweetness. So all the stuff here is for you so you can feel healthy, which means that you can have a very good body so it can learn how to meditate. And for the meditation, we have in here where you can sit down and meditate. Because it's the summertime now, you can go out on the stupas outside and you can sit down there to meditate. That's really cool, meditating on that. If the, you know, the wind is blowing and it's just really nice. And even especially the clear nights, it's the full moon nights are up now, so maybe towards the end of the retreat, just to lay on your back there and just watch the Milky Way. It's a very beautiful little time you can have for yourself here. It's a wonderful part of nature. So you can sit here, you can sit in your rooms, you can sit on the stupas, you can sit on a chair just outside the kitchen. There's so many places where you can go. And also we have our walking meditation rooms through here on that side, in the back over here and through there. And you can see in those walking meditation rooms, there are red carpets for you to walk on, done on purpose. Well, some are orangey, but you know they used to be red, just to show just how we respect the walking meditation. And so you can walk in there, you can sit here, you can walk again and sit in here, just balance the day so that you can have not too much aches and pains and a lot of peace. We do have what's called the noble silence for this retreat. And I have to explain this, especially because people think noble silence is something which is really hard and tough. But that is not what noble silence is. Noble silence means no bells. No bell silence. That's another joke. Come on. And what happens if you practice with no bell ringing all the time? Who knows? One of you, or maybe many of you, may get the Nobel Peace Prize. I'm trying to relax you so you're not afraid when you first come to a meditation retreat. But what it really means is we don't want to have conversations with one another. In other words, you don't just, you know, after this, you go, oh, where are you from? Yeah, I thought I recognized you somewhere. How have you been? no conversations, but you can still speak if there's something which needs to be said. Usually, the advice is, if there's something you need to say, you see someone, it's something you need to say, then think, do I really need to say this? Reflect, first of all, does it really need to be said? And then if you think yes, then think again. Does it really, really need to be said? And if you think, yeah, really, really needs to be said, then third time, please. Does it really, really, really need to be said? By that time, they're usually gone, so you don't break into speech, which means you're silent. But you know, sometimes there is something which needs to be said. As I usually explain when I start these retreats off, suppose you see a snake on the path, just outside. What are you going to do? Noble silence. I'm not allowed to say anything. So sometimes you see people trying this. They sort of try to mime it. And that's really crazy. They're mad. Instead, just, you know, if there's something that needs to be said, look, it's a snake there. Look out for the snake. Then that's enough. It warns people. So you don't have to break into loud or long conversations. Or if somebody makes a lot of noise in your cottage, always bang in the door, what do you do? You don't need to go and tell them. You bang the door, you're terrible, you shouldn't bang the door. I'm going to tell Ajahn Brahm about you. We're going to put you on the blacklist. We're not going to allow you to come on this place any longer. You're banging the door all the time. You keep me awake. You stop me getting enlightened. I don't know why you're allowed to come in here anyway. You should learn how to come in without banging doors, first of all. And you found the sound of the door. That stopped a long time ago. But the echo in your mind, especially when you start talking about it, that is more noisy than any sound of a door banging. What goes on between your ears. So, if a door bangs, bang! Let it go. It stopped already. So make sure it doesn't keep running in your head. And if you break into conversations, you'd find that's what happens. When you're breaking conversations, you know, you're just listening to these words. And the words are not the same as truth. Silence is where truth lies, not in words. And if you want to know the story behind this, that was all the Lao Tzu's story. Some of you have heard this before. I think most of you have heard it before. But none of you have heard it so often as I've heard it, because I tell it at every retreat. And that was, it's true, it's logic, reason. You know, I used to do theoretical physics when I was at university. So, you know, we had to learn logic and mathematics and reason. So, you know, it's obvious that, you know, I have to enjoy my own jokes much more than you do. So if I can laugh at my old jokes, I don't see why you can't. Golden oldies. Anyway, where was I? About being reasoned. Well, Lao Tzu. So, Lao Tzu had this monastery somewhere in China a long time ago. And he would allow his students to go with him on a walk, one student with the master, every evening. But when you went on a walk with the master, you weren't allowed to speak. It was a very strict rule of absolutely no speaking. So, a new young man asked to go on the walk. It's okay. So when they left the monastery, that was when the rule of silence began. And they walked through the forest. They walked here, they walked there. And eventually they got to a ridge in the mountains at sunset. And that evening, the sunset was so spectacular. Reds and crimsons interspaced with blue and oranges were streaked across the horizon. It was a magnificent scene. And it was so beautiful that the new student forgot his rule and blurted out, "What a wonderful sunset that is." He'd spoken. And at that, the master, if the master said, "You've spoken," he could say, "Well, so have you. You're as bad as I am." So the master didn't say anything. He turned around and went back to monastery. Otherwise, you know that other old story about the four monks? They also had a vow of silence, and then one of them sneezed. And the first monk said, "Bless you." The second monk said, "You've just broken your vow of silence." The third monk said, "So have you." Fourth monk said, "I'm glad I'm the only one here who can keep my rules." In other words, they all broke their vow of silence. But anyway, so Lao Tzu walked back to monastery. When he came back into the monastery, he could speak then. And he said, "You spoke during our talk. You broke the rules. And because of that," said the master, "I will never allow you to come on a walk with me ever again. Ever, for life." Oh, and that was such a harsh punishment. So his friends said, "Oh, come on, master, it's only just one word. Give him another chance." He said, "No." And they all said, "Well, also, what's wrong? What's wrong when you see a beautiful sunset with actually saying, 'Wow, what a wonderful sunset that is'? What's wrong with saying that?" And this is the important part of the story. Lao Tzu replied, "When my student said, 'What a beautiful sunset,' he was not watching the sunset anymore. He was only watching the words." I don't know about you, when I read that story, I got it straight away. Wow, how true that is. When you're thinking about something, you're not seeing it. When you're speaking the words, you're listening to the words, you're not seeing the thing. Only in silence is there a sense of truth, much closer to reality, when in the silence you see, you hear, you feel, you know. So no need to give it a name. What's my name anyway? Does anyone know my name? Is it really Ajahn Brahm? No, my real name is Ajahn Donut. You know why I prefer Ajahn Donut? For three reasons. Number one, a donut is round. Number two, a donut is sweet. And number three, a donut is holy. So when somebody suggested that, I thought, yeah, okay, I'll accept that. But anyway, so we learn how to have noble silence, which is really between our ears. So instead of talking to people, instead of thinking about what you're experiencing, we're seeing it more directly, feeling it in silence, understanding it in this quiet mind. And that's the real noble silence. That's the tough one. Because we think. Always give things names. Always believe that if we can just give it a name, then we can understand it. Here we go. I'll now demonstrate this. What is this which I'm holding up? You can speak. What is it?
Water.
Water. What else is it?
Water.
Yeah, what else is it? Come on, tell me more.
Glass.
What else? We've got glass, water, bottle. Yeah, what else? Wow, amazing. Just how intelligent are you? It's only those four words you've got. What else is it? Now, this is only sort of like a teaching demonstration. Now, when you hold it up, sometimes what you're looking for, sometimes people look for what we call the right answer. And I say, yes, exactly, well done, and come and collect a prize. No prizes in this retreat. So what actually is this? Keep on looking, because the longer you look, the more you see. If you just give it a name, a bottle of water, and think you've captured it, you don't even look at it anymore. It's finished, it's gone. You don't see deeply into it. But when you look longer and longer and longer, and especially when all of the words finish, when you can't give it another name, then maybe you can start seeing things you've never seen before in this. You know what I see in it? Really heavy. I'm going to put it down. Kidding me. But this is the problem with thinking and how thinking stops wisdom. It never allows you to stay long enough with something to really understand and penetrate it. And all the words you give it, the language of thought, is all that you've been taught at school and university and language classes. And here we're going to go way beyond that in the beauty of silence. So that's why noble silence doesn't mean just refusing to talk. What it really means is inside we're getting so quiet that we can learn how to be peaceful, and the food starts to taste more delicious, the beds are more soft, the smells of the forest become more easy for you to imbibe in your nose, and everything, just the feelings in your body become more aware, and even your mind becomes more clear. So we're meditating, calming the body, relaxing it down, and then relaxing our mind so we're not thinking. The old story that if it's a full moon night like it was, only yesterday was a full moon. And if you want to see the full moon, this is in Japanese culture, the best way to see the full moon is reflected in a still pond or lake of water. But that lake, that body of water, has to be perfectly still. And if it really is still, if there's no agitation, no waves on the surface of the water, then you can see a perfect reflection of the moon and maybe a few bright stars around it. But if there's anything which disturbs the water, you will not be able to see the reflection of the moon. That is like your mind. If you want to see the truth, you can never see the truth reflected in a body of water which is agitated, disturbed, got waves, and it's not smooth on the surface. But if during this retreat there are times when your mind is just so still, where nothing is moving, your mind, not a thought in the mind, perfectly still, then there's a very good chance you can see what we call truth. That's where insights come, from the still forest pools, meaning your mind. So that's why we go for stillness. This is not about concentration. Anybody here, at least I hope, you've read enough of my books or heard enough of the YouTube talks to realize that if you're trying to concentrate your mind, it just gets really tight. No happiness, no joy. You can sort of hold it for a while, but eventually you don't really get anywhere. But if you learn how to let go, then things become peaceful. So here we go. One of the demonstrations which I always give. Now, you've got a bald head, sort of. So are you honest?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm now going to get up because you can see it from here. I'm now going to trust you on this little demonstration. My job now is to hold the water in my cup perfectly still. So can you see it? Is it still yet?
No.
You know why? I'm not paying any attention, am I? So now I'm going to pay attention. I'm being mindful. Is it stopped moving yet?
No.
So I'm not concentrating. I now be mindful. I'm going to concentrate, really concentrate.
Definitely not.
Actually moving more. So this is how many people try to meditate. Being mindful and concentrating. Come on, keep still. Okay, water, come on, keep still. If you don't keep still, I'm not going to move into air.
Not working.
So anyone who thinks they can't meditate, it's because this is what you're doing. You're trying to be aware, trying to concentrate, trying to make it still, and it never happens. Fortunately, 2,500 years ago, someone came along and said, that's not how to meditate. How to meditate is to let go. So I now let it go. How's it now?
Almost still.
What about now?
Yes.
It's almost perfectly still. So easy. I can do that. Can't you do that? That is how to meditate. So hopefully that simile, that demonstration, has taught you where you go wrong in meditation. Trying to make your mind still instead of putting it down. Let it go. Stop interfering. Being patient. Not grasping. Not holding. Not doing anything. Relaxing to the max. And the water becomes still all by itself. Ah. And when that happens, it does become still. Please don't make this mistake. Is it still yet or not yet? Come on, I haven't got all day, you know. Be still. Oh, sorry. So I think you understand what I'm talking about. Because a lot of times people don't give themselves enough time to be patient. Relax the body, relax the mind, and you find the mind becomes really still. And sometimes it becomes still at places you don't expect. Sometimes you're just walking out after the talk or after breakfast or lunch or something. You just sit down because it's a beautiful morning or afternoon. You sit down, your mind becomes really still. Why? You'll find that some of the most still moments of your life, because you're just content. You're just happy to be here. You don't want anything. There seems to be nothing missing. And those times when you're totally content, sometimes they're not perfect moments. They're not sort of, I get this, and I arrange it all together, I get my best breakfast, and I sit in my favourite chair, and I make sure the air is not too hot, not too cold, I make sure I've got a nice covering over me, I make sure. That never happens. Sometimes you sit there, it's just, I feel happy. I don't want anything in the whole world. If I found a bottle like this, who knows, this might be another meaning for the bottle. I haven't rubbed it yet. Is the genie coming out? No genie coming out, give me three wishes. Because if a genie did come out and give me three wishes, I'd say, you know, get out of here. We don't do wishes in this place. I don't want anything. Imagine you're sitting down, you don't want anything in the whole world. Just happy to be here. With this whole body in this 11th year of jhana growth. And in this old temple, 2,500-year-old meditation practice. Are you happy to be here? Or do you want to be somewhere else? With somebody else? If you want to be somewhere else, you can never be peaceful. If you're happy to be here in this moment, with the friends, a lot of you I don't know, I'll get to know you later on. And yeah, are you happy to be here? You know, sometimes I think, oh, what the heck, I'm going to be happy to be here no matter what. And as soon as I'm happy to be here, I don't want anything in the whole world. And if a genie did come out and offer me a wish, this magical being, oh great Master Rajabha, what would you wish for? And I said, nothing. That's your first wish. What's your second wish? More nothing. What about your third wish? I'll take away those first two wishes. In other words, you don't want anything in the whole world. Imagine that. Imagine what it must feel like. And this is where you learn what meditation is all about. You stay in places like that for long enough, your mind gets so peaceful, so still. And what happens is it starts to go in. Things on the outside vanish, and you go in. This is not going on to the next stage of meditation. Not getting on to the next stage of liberation or insight. It's always going in. The truth lies right within where you are now. Go deeper into it. Inside of this. Inside of what's inside of this. Inside of what's inside of what's inside of what's inside. Keep going in. That's real insight meditation. Going deeper in, see what's in the core of this. And it's also, the nice thing about this method is, the deeper you go in, the more peaceful you are, the happier you are, and it's also amazing just the how much wisdom there is. Right inside you, in the centre of this, the centre of your mind, the centre of the present moment, the centre of the breath, the centre of everything, go right inside. See how deep you can go inside. If you want something, you go to something else. Stay where you are. Allow the mind to go in. And that way you get into some amazing deep meditations. And it's also, you see, just the way this happens, it's just learning how to relax to the max. Don't want anything. Make sure you're comfortable enough, well enough fed, enough water, enough comfort on you. Get some more cushions out. There's plenty of cushions. Sit on a chair sometimes. Sometimes, if it's tough on the ground, get a chair to sit on. Sometimes you can sit one meditation on a chair, one on the cushion, or do it whatever way you wish. So that means that you're not forcing your body. So it's not tired or aching. It's relaxed. Which means you don't need anything. We don't need anything. It's easier not to want anything. When you don't want anything, you're free. Freedom, peace, ecstasy, insight, love, all coming together. Peaceful, just loving being here. The door of my heart open to this moment. Oh, what joy. Such a simple thing to do. Okay, that's 8 o'clock already. Or 9 o'clock, sorry. So time flies when you're having fun. So, hopefully that you're all comfortable here. Again, there's no bells. Whenever there is something to ring, or usually in the morning for the chanting, instead of ringing the gong, the reason I've got it here is just to do the singing bell. So that's whenever... Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have done that, sorry. But so whenever for the morning chanting or the evening chanting or something, I usually do that bell. Not really a bell, it's a gong. So anyway, so that's just the introduction. So hopefully that some of you may have come from overseas. How many of you have come from overseas today? Wow! You must be really jet-lagged and tired. Well, not jet-lagged, we come from Singapore. It's the same time zone, which is good. But it's tiring travelling. So if you want to have a nice little rest now, please do so. And in the morning time, we do have some chanting tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock? Yes, right, 6 o'clock. And then we do some meditation until breakfast. Breakfast at 6:45. So I'm sure you'll all make it up for that. Doesn't matter how jet-lagged or tired you are. But those of you who don't need to come for the morning meditation, just you can do the morning chanting in your rooms. You can snore, whatever you want to do. And so just so you can have a nice quiet time. So I think that's enough just to get an idea, the feel of what this meditation retreat is about. And so I wish you all a pleasant time, and I see you in the morning. And after breakfast, there's a talk at 8 o'clock, and as we get into the real meditation, what we're actually doing and how to meditate and stuff, and other questions in the afternoon. And from Sunday, we have interviews. The interviews from usually after the morning talk from 9 o'clock till 9:20. That's right, because I go over to Jhana Grove. I also got two jobs to do. Oh, I'm so busy. Do I look busy and stressed? I should be. Because I learned how to be irresponsible. Irresponsible means if I'm over here, I'm not Abbot of Bodhinyana Monastery. When I'm over here, I'm the teacher at Jhana Grove. And when I'm over there, I'm not teacher of Jhana Grove, I'm Abbot Bodhinyana Monastery. So I have all these little ways of dealing, just one thing at a time. So I'm not having too many jobs to do. That's how to not to be busy. A busy person is not a person with lots of responsibilities. A busy person is one who does too many things at the same time. So, now's a job just to relax and let go. You've got no responsibilities at all while you're here. Oh, isn't that nice? You're not a wife. You're not a wife. When you go back home, you are. You're not a wife, you're not a husband, you're not a mother, you're not a father, you're not a child, you're not a sister, you're not a brother. What else can you be? You're not a worker, you're not unemployed, you're not... just a meditator. Isn't that nice? Totally free, just a meditator. Yay! Don't have to worry about husbands and wives and... Actually, don't worry about wives. There's only one wife, isn't it, people have these days. So you're nice and free and easy. Excellent. Okay, so have a nice evening. And is there anything I left out which I should have said? If I have, never mind. Okay, so at the end of a talk, we usually do the three sadhus. Nah, not good enough. Come on, you've got to give it energy. Okay, one, two, three, with me. Sadhu. Sadhu. Big one. Sadhu. Oh, three he's go after three sadhus. Okay. You can do more than three if you wish. Okay, that's it. So have a nice evening. Those of you who are when I take a rest, please take a rest. Those who want to meditate some more, meditate some more. Totally up to you.